Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
We've been working our way through disciple distinctives, those qualities that make a disciple of Jesus Christ different, distinctive from those who are not. Different in the spirit, if you will, of the old gospel song, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." First, we looked at five commitments that disciples make: commitment to the Word of God, commitment to prayer, a commitment to community, a commitment to transformation, and a commitment to service. We are now looking at the attitudes that disciples reveal. Being a disciple not only means we make commitments that non-disciples don't make, but it means that we, as disciples, reveal attitudes that non-disciples don't reveal. Which is not to say that you must be a disciple to reveal godly attitudes. We know immediately that isn't true. There are plenty of people out there who reveal godly attitudes who are not disciples of Jesus Christ. Disciples reveal certain attitudes because they're disciples. Those who are not disciples reveal certain attitudes in spite of the fact that they're not. For example, there are some people who are in good physical health who don't exercise. But generally speaking, those who exercise are in better physical health than those who don't. People who continually borrow money tend to have financial problems, but not everyone who borrows money has financial problems. Some of the finest people you will ever meet are not Christians. I kind of wish it wasn't so, but it is so that some of the finest people you will ever run into are not Christians. They don't know Christ as Savior. They make no claim to follow him as a disciple. They're just nice people. They're just fine people. They're people that you would appreciate having as a neighbor or as a friend. But being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not primarily about being a nice person. Now, I hope if you're a disciple, you're a nice person. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be. We should be the best people in the world to be around. But being a disciple of Christ is about being transformed into his image. It's not about just adhering to certain socially preferred standards. It's about following the ways of Christ. But though there are people with good attitudes who are not disciples of Christ, we expect disciples to reveal certain kinds of attitudes. Jesus touched on this issue in Luke chapter 6, verse 49, when he said, "But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed." Now, we've looked so far at three attitudes that disciples should reveal: an attitude of humility, an attitude of thankfulness, And during the Christmas season, we considered an attitude of wonder, sheer wonder at who God is and what God has done. Today, we're going to add to the list one of the most important attitudes of all. It's important because without this particular attitude, it's doubtful that you'll be able to cultivate or develop any of the others. I'm talking about the attitude of teachability. To be teachable means that you're capable of being taught. It means that you're apt to learn, you're predisposed to learn, you're inclined to learn, you are prone to learn. It means that you're not just willing to receive instruction, it means you're enthusiastic about it. As Winston Churchill once said, the most important thing about education is appetite. Now, this makes perfect sense when you consider that a disciple at core is what? A learner. A disciple, by very definition, means learner. It's a person who has placed themselves into a teacher-learner relationship. Jesus is the teacher, and we are the learners. So for a disciple to not be teachable is about as contradictory as it gets. So for a few minutes, let's look at one of the key passages in the New Testament on the teachability of a disciple. If you're not already there, please turn to Matthew chapter 11. That's the first book of the New Testament. At verse 25 of Matthew 11, we read, "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children.'" Now, throughout the Gospels, it's very clear that Jesus had truth to impart, and he imparted that truth to those with a certain kind of attitude. It's not the attitude of the arrogant know-it-all, not the attitude of one who feels that they have nothing to learn and nothing to be taught. But Jesus compares the kind of person to whom he reveals truth to a child. Truth is hidden from the wise and learned, but it's revealed to little children. Now, we must understand immediately that this is not some kind of anti-education statement. God is not opposed to learning. He's not opposed to growth. He's not opposed to acquiring knowledge. God is quite favorable toward learning. That's why he gave us the Bible. There's a lot of learning that we need to grasp from this book. That's why there's so many commands in the Bible about growing and about studying and about learning and about listening. It's not opposition to learning, it's opposition to arrogance about learning. It's not to those who already know everything, here referred to as the wise and learned. It's not to those that Jesus reveals truth. He reveals it to those who are like children. Now, I don't think he's referring to children literally here, although certainly children are quite capable of receiving spiritual truth. In fact, in many ways, they're more likely to receive spiritual truth than those who are grown. But the point he's making is that truth is revealed to those who are like children. Like children in that they know that they don't know, and they are eager to learn what they don't know. Children, in fact, are obsessed with learning. They want to know everything. Think about all that a child learns in just the first few years of life. They learn how to eat, very important, how to crawl, how to walk, how to use the bathroom. Hopefully. They learn how to verbalize their thoughts and their intentions. They learn how to read, how to write, how to express themselves. They learn how to resolve conflict to some degree. They learn how to ask for what they need. They got that one down. Children learn a phenomenal amount in those early years. It's when children grow up that they often lose their insatiable appetite for learning. Jesus is saying that his disciples must have an attitude of teachability like children. A child knows he doesn't know, and he knows who does know, and he is eager to humbly learn from them. Now, I realize, of course, there are exceptions. Some children are stubborn and refuse to be taught, but they're the exceptions. Most children typically are eager to learn. In fact, that's why Jesus uses them as an example. In the next verse, verse 27, a problem is raised for some people. Jesus says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Now, some will say, well, that's not fair. How arbitrary for Jesus to pick those to whom he will reveal truth. But there are two very important things we need to keep in mind. The first one is that God owes nobody anything. He doesn't owe us life. He doesn't owe us forgiveness. He doesn't owe us mercy. He doesn't even owe us truth. Everything that God gives us is an act of his grace, pure and simple. Even the revelation of himself, even the revealing to us who God is an act of his grace. He doesn't owe it to us. Jesus says in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." It's an act of God's grace. Now, there's a sense in which we can only respond to the grace of God if it has already been extended to us. Now, I don't fully comprehend how that works, the dynamic. But we cannot receive grace until God has extended it to us. And that's why Jesus says the only ones who can even come to the Father are the ones who have been drawn that way. Second, this clearly shows that discipleship is born out of relationship. A disciple learns and grows in relationship to Christ. It's not just about acquiring information. It's about relationship. It's only in relationship to Christ. It's only when one is in that relationship that truth is revealed to them. It's relational. We can only grow as a disciple of Christ when we've responded to his call to follow. And we can only respond to his call to follow when we've heard the call to follow. And we can only hear the call to follow if he chooses for us to hear it. If discipleship is not about relationship, then we are simply collectors of information. Now, we need truth to be transformed. We need to say that. But truth alone is not enough. It requires the truth of God and the Spirit of God working together to transform the people of God. Disciple needs a master with whom he is in relationship. That's how transformation occurs. Now, verses 28 to 30 kind of bring it home. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And the logical first question we would ask is, rest from what? Well, rest from weariness and rest from burden. Weariness comes by our trying to live up to an impossible standard of righteousness. Weariness comes by trying to be righteous on our own terms or by our own efforts. This doesn't make us righteous. It's never made anyone righteous. It just makes us tired. It just makes us weary. But we also need rest from a burden. specifically the burden of our sin and guilt. There is no greater burden in life than the burden of sin and guilt. In fact, when someone is not burdened by sin, when someone feels no guilt about the wrongs they've done, society has a name for such a person. We call them a sociopath. It's not a compliment. Sin and guilt are a burden. They should be a burden. And that burden Jesus offers to remove when we come to him. Rest comes when we no longer strive for righteousness. And the burden is lifted through his forgiveness of our sin. Then he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Discipleship is about learning. It's about being Jesus' disciple and learning from him. Learning through him. Learning by his example. And he uses an interesting analogy, the analogy of a yoke. A yoke, as you know, was a wooden beam that was put between oxen. And that wooden beam was, it connected them for unified work. The yoke allowed the oxen to plow as a team. It allowed the stronger ox to encourage the weaker ox. The weaker ox would have never been as strong plowing alone as he was plowing with another ox in the yoke with him. The yoke of Jesus is similar. It allows Jesus and the disciple to work together. To be yoked to Jesus is to benefit from his strength and his power and his wisdom. And the yoke forced the team to move in the same direction. It helped keep them unified, united toward the same end and the same purpose. And of course, the yoke means discipline. Now, there might have been a tendency for one ox to be a slacker. A slacker ox. It's ugly, let me tell you. But there were no slackers in the yoke. You couldn't be, because the one would drag you along if you decided to take a break. You either kept up or you were very uncomfortable. Now, the main difference in the yoke of the oxen and the yoke of the disciple is that the yoke of the disciple is voluntary. You know, they never had a conference with the oxen and asked them, "Would you like to be yoked?" They had no say in the matter. The farmer just took the yoke, slapped it on the oxen, cracked the whip, and that was that. No choice. But Jesus offers us the yoke. He says, "Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon yourself. You put it on, and then we can work together as a team." Then he says, "Learn from me." There it is again. Disciples are learners. "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart," which is not the trait you would expect from the sovereign Lord of the universe. Jesus holds all authority in heaven and on earth, according to the Great Commission of Matthew 28. He holds all the cards. He holds our eternal destiny in his hand. Yet he's gentle and humble in heart. As Jesus' disciple, we have the privilege of walking with the sovereign Lord of the universe, and yet one who is gentle and gracious and kind and understanding and forgiving. So yes, it's a yoke, but it's a yoke shared by one who is gentle and humble. Could we ask for anything more? Could it possibly get any better than the all-powerful sovereign Lord of the universe yoked with us, who is gentle and kind and forgiving? It just couldn't be any better than that. Then Jesus ends in verse 30 with a strange statement. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How can that be? The yoke itself is a burden. The yoke was heavy. The yoke was inflexible and unbending. The yoke is burdensome. Or is it? I suppose that most everybody here today came to church in a vehicle of some kind. Car, truck, van. And you know that big iron thing that's in the front of the vehicle, underneath the hood? It's really, really heavy. It's made of iron. What's it called again? Oh, yeah, the engine. The engine. That big, heavy iron thing in the vehicle. You know, if that was removed, think how much lighter the vehicle would be. Now, I don't. Maybe there's someone here that knows how much an engine weighs. You know, it must weigh hundreds, if not thousands, of pounds. It's very, very heavy. I mean, it takes block and tackle to lift the thing out. It's very, very heavy. So if you could get that thing out of your vehicle, your vehicle would be thousands of pounds lighter. It would help with gas mileage. It would make the car lighter. It would be easier to move and to transport. In fact, when we leave today, I'm going to recommend that we all go out in the parking lot and get those nasty, big, heavy iron things out of our vehicles. Of course, that wouldn't be an improvement, would it? And the reason is because the big iron thing in the vehicle is what makes it go. It's the car's burden that sets it free. And such is the yoke. It appears to be a burden. It appears to be a stifler and restrictor of freedom. But it's actually neither. When Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, he's not saying that the life of a disciple is a cakewalk or that it's easy. He's saying that life with him is the best life there is. It's a life that's based upon truth. A life that's based upon what's right because our guide is the truth. Now, truth can be hard, can it? But it's truth that sets us free. We're teachable when we humbly submit to what Jesus wants to teach us through his word. We are teachable when we humbly obey what he's taught us through his word. And we are teachable when we are not arrogant about what we know or what we don't know, but when we allow ourselves to be molded and shaped by our master. And we are teachable when we admit that no matter how far we've come, none of us is there yet. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that in your grace, you have called us to be Jesus' disciples, to hear the call and respond to it and embark on a lifelong journey of growth, to learn from him, to be yoked to him, to draw upon his strength and his wisdom, and to realize that even though we as disciples can yoke ourselves with the sovereign Lord of the universe, he is also gentle and kind and forgiving and gracious and loving and humble in heart. Lord, we know that there is a time in our lives when we decide to be yoked to Jesus Christ as his disciple. And yet it's also something that we must redecide every single day. It's easy to kind of wiggle out of the yoke. It's kind of easy to be dragged along by the yoke, even sometimes against our will. It's all about attitude, as we've seen today. It's about an attitude of teachability. To say, Lord, there's a lot I don't know. There's a lot I don't understand. There's a lot you need to teach me. So make me open and teachable and pliable and moldable to your will through your word. Help me, help us all to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen.